From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Election Day is just 1 week away, and many of the people who appear on ballots across Illinois either are or want to be judges. Some are running to retain their seats, others are competing against one another in partisan elections to fill slots in the state's judicial system. Among those up for election are two state Supreme Court seats, as we've discussed previously on the program. Well, last month, several members of the Illinois judicial and legal groups issued what they're calling the Judicial Declaration of Independence. The document says, in so many words, that Illinois courts can only function if they're viewed as doing their jobs in an impartial way. The document also criticizes threats against judges, which it says have been happening more frequently. As the declaration puts it, judges are called upon to make decisions on controversial and hotly contested matters. We make these decisions because we've been given a position of trust in our communities. The voters should be able to determine whether we retain that position of trust based upon whether our rulings are fair and well-grounded in the law, not whether we adhere to anyone's political ideology. Here to talk with us about the Judicial Declaration of Independence is Justice Eileen O'Neill Burke. She serves as an appellate justice in Illinois' 1st District in Cook County. She's also the president of the Illinois Judges Association, which spearheaded the declaration. Justice O'Neill Burke, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. This is a really important topic, so we appreciate you giving us an opportunity to talk about this declaration.
Well, and we appreciate you being here. I also want to introduce at this time Rory Weiler, who is the president of the Illinois State Bar Association. He's also a partner in the firm of Weiler & Langle in St. Charles, Illinois. Rory, welcome to you as well.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on. Appreciate the opportunity to discuss this very, very important issue.
Sure. And finally, I want to introduce Judge Anna Demakopoulos, who serves in Cook County's Circuit Court Chancery Division. Judge Demakopoulos, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you for having us.
And listeners, as ever, we want to hear from you. What do you think? How do you think Illinois' judicial system is faring in this year's elections? 800-222-9455. If you're a voter, do you feel well-equipped, well-informed as you're going into the voting booth? What sort of ideas are you using to decide who you will vote for on those judicial races? 800-222-9455 or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Justice O'Neill Burke, I want to begin with you, and especially for, I assume, many, if not most of our listeners who have not read this document. Can you please talk about the ideas and principles behind the Judicial Declaration of Independence?
Sure. This project started after the last election cycle, and it emanated from our concern that judges are being targeted for decisions that they're making in an attempt to almost intimidate the judiciary. I think that's been borne out by attacks on judges all over the country based on how they think they're ruling and what their ideological positions are. The Brennan Center in Washington, D.C. has tracked the threats against the judiciary have increased threefold, not double, but threefold over the last year and a half. That's a significant increase. So the attempt by our organization, and Judge Demakopoulos was the driver of this entire initiative, was to have people focus on what's important in evaluating a judge. So I know I have children, and my children do not get their news from the same sources that my husband and I do. If you're under 40, you're probably not sitting down watching the nightly news or reading a newspaper. You're probably getting your news from a feed. So what that means is judicial evaluations are coming at people based on people who have no idea what a judge's job is or what they're doing. They just have a computer and they're doing evaluations of judges. So we really wanted people to look at the judicial evaluation system that's conducted by the bar associations like Mr. Weiler's ISBA or the Chicago Bar Association, where they are interviewing litigants, lawyers who appear in front of the judge. And does that judge fairly apply the law to the facts? Do they make their decisions based solely on those things and not on a political agenda?
And I want to come back to that idea of how judges go about their work, and certainly a phrase I've heard for a long time, applying the law to the facts to achieve a just result. But let's stay with this point you made about threats and attacks on the judiciary. And I presume you mean that both figuratively, like verbal, rhetorical attacks, as well as physical threats to judges. Talk about what you've seen, what you've heard here in Illinois with that regard, Justice O'Neill Burke.
Brian, I mean, you don't have to go very far to see that attacks on all political leaders have increased. Every night we're hearing, you know, reports of that. The judge in Wisconsin who was retired was killed by a former litigant. It's happening all over the country, and it's people are getting their news about people from the internet, and it's not based in law, it's not based in fact, it's not based on how that judge does their job. So we're asking people to look at who is supporting these vitriolic ads, who is behind those, and at the same time, take a look at what bar associations say about judges. So I think we're in tumultuous times right now, and it makes sense that there is a winner and loser in every case, and people are going to be angry at some of the decisions judges make. But we need to be impartial. Judges cannot be bending to whatever political wind or whoever yells the loudest, because then we're all in trouble. The judges have to be impartial. We take an oath that we will not allow anything other than the facts and the law to determine our decisions. So that has to be what it comes down to. Do we do that correctly?
Judge Anna Demakopoulos in Cook County, you're in the Chancery Division there. You're a little bit closer to the ground in terms of actually dealing with litigants, presumably angry litigants in some cases. Do you have anything to add to what Justice O'Neill Burke said there, and what effect this environment has on you and your colleagues?
Sure. You know, Brian, one of the issues that comes up frequently is, well, why shouldn't judges be held accountable? And our initiative is based on the premise that we want to bring things back to basic government civics here, right? We learned very early on in our education that the third branch of government is an independent branch of government, and that we are the last line of defense for our citizens. And that's where they go to challenge what the legislature has done and what the executive branch has done. Unfortunately, what has happened recently is, because of dark money, political action committees, independent expenditure committees, people that have blogs, people who think they know how to evaluate judges, have been able to get to the voters with a message that, you know what, judges aren't supposed to be independent. They're supposed to have political agendas. Let's see what the political agenda is of this particular judge. And so it's transformed from being an independent and the expectation that voters had that we are independent. And now the expectation or the perception is by the voters and the citizens of our communities that judges are supposed to have a political agenda. So part of this initiative is to bring people back to basic civics, understanding why it's important to have this third branch, an independent branch where citizens can go in. And so when you are the judge at the bottom, right, the trial court judges who are hearing the litigants' cases, there should be an expectation that the litigant that comes in that has no resources and is what we call a self-represented litigant is going to get exactly the same treatment on the facts and the law of their case than the individual that comes in that may have resources, financial resources, technological resources, whatever it may be, they're both going to get the same treatment. And that the judge is going to rule based on the facts and the law. And like Justice O'Neill Burke just mentioned that, you know, if there's an expectation that we are going to change our rulings based on who yells the loudest, who throws the most money behind a political agenda, then our decision-making is going to be influenced by that. And that is wrong. That is a disaster waiting to happen. Because in any election cycle, the narrative changes. And so one election cycle, it may be that, you know, judges are too harsh. The next election cycle, judges are too lenient. The next election cycle, it may be on a hot topic. And so we should not have that expectation. judges should only be evaluated on whether or not they are fair and impartial, whether they have the right temperament, whether they are good workers, whether they have good work ethic, whether they are in fact impartial, and nothing more than that. And so what we have found is that the narrative has changed, and the messaging coming from these independent political agenda-driven groups are throwing the expectation at our citizens that, you know what, no, start evaluating judges on content and what is the likelihood of success on these particular button issues.
Let me bring Rory Weiler into the conversation, president of the Illinois State Bar Association. Your group does a lot of these evaluations. Talk about what goes into that process of recommending or not recommending, and how judges are rated by the Bar Association and other comparable groups.
Well, the process is exhaustive, and from the Illinois State Bar Association's perspective, this is one of the most important functions, one of the most important public services that our association provides, because we interview and we poll, we do judicial polling, and in Cook County, we also do an evaluation process that examines the judges and how they perform on the kind of factors that are apolitical, that don't have anything to do with ideology, that don't have anything to do with a political axe to grind. There are, perhaps a dozen different factors. Is the judge impartial? Is he or she affected by any bias or prejudice? Is he or she physically capable of doing a job, and so on and so forth.
And this is a survey of attorneys who practice before these judges.
That's correct. And in fact, when you get into judicial elections, we interview the candidates. Now, some candidates choose not to participate in the process. That's, of course, their decision. As a lawyer, I would wonder why a candidate wouldn't want to participate. But that's, that's personal to me as a voter, I guess. But we devote literally thousands of staff hours and, well over $200,000 in any given election cycle to conducting these evaluations and conducting the polling that we use to make our recommendations as to not recommended, recommended, or highly recommended. And, I would encourage your listeners to go to the ISBA website, isba.org. It's very easy to find our judicial recommendations in any of the 102 counties in the state in which you live. So, to me, as I said, it's certainly one of the most important functions that we engage in as a state bar association. And I know our friends at the Chicago Bar Association have a very similar rigorous evaluation process and program. And with respect to the Cook County candidates, we are in an alliance with Chicago Bar Association and a number of other bar associations that provides a broad perspective of lawyers from all political from all ends of the spectrum.
Justice O'Neill Burke, we need to take a break in a little more than a minute and a half here. But before we do, voters are overwhelmed, I think, right? Especially in places like Cook County, where there are so many judges on the ballot. We know a lot of voters just skip those questions entirely. Party labels, I think, are an efficient shorthand for voters to kind of know what sorts of policies and attitudes they might be getting with judges. In your view, are those not appropriate for judicial candidates?
That's the system we have, Brian. So if I could wave a magic wand and say we're always elected in a nonpartisan election, I would like to. However, that changes. Cook County is primarily Democrat and Southern Illinois is all Republican. But the Illinois Judges Association, we work together all the time, and it has never been an issue whether somebody is a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't even factor in to how we do our jobs. It's how we get elected is one thing, but how we do our jobs has nothing to do with politics at all. And
Okay.
Brian, if I
Sure.
could mention,
Briefly, yeah.
22 different legal groups have signed on to this declaration. So that's a vast array of legal groups from all over the state who have found this to be a vitally important declaration that we need to be separate and apart from politics.
Well, we need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation about this judicial declaration of independence. And I guess there we heard about increasing attacks on the judiciary, but the judiciary has certainly, there have been people trying to politicize the judiciary in Illinois for many years now. A number of Supreme Court races going back to 2004 that I've covered, which at the time was a record-breaking, record-spending campaign for the Illinois Supreme Court. We're going to talk about this with Justice Eileen O'Neill Burke from the First District Appellate Court in Cook County, Judge Anna Demakopoulos from the Cook County Trial Court, and Roy Weiler, President of the Illinois State Bar Association. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. More to come in a moment. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Judicial Declaration of Independence, something issued by a number of groups, including the Illinois Judges Association and others in the legal sphere, basically calling for judges to be evaluated based on their integrity, professionalism, temperament, fairness, and impartiality, not other factors. And we've certainly seen a number of outside groups attempting to influence voters on judges in terms of how they rule on criminal justice matters. That's Injustice Watch is one prominent organization in Cook County that rates judges on what they view as important issues. We've certainly seen trial lawyers, which represent plaintiffs, take an active role in judicial elections with spending and recommendations. And on the other side of that equation, big business groups weighing in, attempting to persuade voters to support judges they think would be favorable to them. And that's what I think those sorts of things are what the judges are attempting to push back against with this Declaration of Independence. We're talking about this with Justice Eileen O'Neill Burke of the First District Appellate Court and President of the Illinois Judges Association, also Judge Anna Demakopoulos of the Cook County Circuit Court, and Rory T. Weiler, President of the Illinois State Bar Association, also a lawyer in private practice in St. Charles, Illinois. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. Justice O'Neill Burke, can you say more about why is it those groups? I mean, it's, you know, there's a free speech interest there is in Illinois. Why is it that you think, or where does that cross the line in terms of groups attempting to say, look, judges are, they're not politicians per se, right? They're not legislators. They're not creating the laws. But what they do is part of our criminal justice system. What they do help carry out the policy. Why is it not right that, you know, groups should be able to try and influence what, where, you know, which judges, you know, are carrying out or enforcing, not enforcing the law, interpreting the law, right? How they are carrying out the will of the legislature.
Because, Brian, when we get into that, then we get back to who is yelling the loudest. And the political winds change. We know that. I mean, I've been around long enough to know that the political winds are always changing. Do you want a judge who's going to say, well, yeah, you're right on this for now, and then when the political winds change, but now I change my mind on this? It doesn't matter what my personal belief is. If it is the law, I have to adhere to it. So judges really can't comment on how they would rule on a specific case, because each and every case, I've been a judge for 16 years, Judge Demakopoulos has been a judge for 16 years. Every single case has to be looked at. How do these facts apply to the law? So it's, and I have never prejudged a case before I see it. I have never said that this is the way I'm going to rule on all of these types of cases, because you can't do it, because each and every case is different, has to be analyzed each and every case on its own. Did that answer
your
question?
I guess I would just wonder, you know, so I covered the Illinois Supreme Court for the Chicago Daily Law Bulletin many years ago. I know that most decisions of appellate courts are often unanimous, right? 7-0 on the Illinois Supreme Court, maybe 6-1. Every now and then, though, you do get that 4-3, very, very closely split decision. All judges of good faith, all coming to very different interpretations of how the law applies to the facts. And I guess I just wonder, where is that dividing line between, you know, and I don't think you would say that any of them are, you know, approaching a case with bad faith, even if they come to different conclusions. So how do you strike that balance?
There is a deep abiding belief that every single one of us wants to get it right. Every single one of us wants to do the right thing on each case. And we will differ on what our definition of right is. But I will say that if we are deciding something, that decision is scrutinized. It's scrutinized by the appellate court. It's scrutinized by the Supreme Court. So it's not that we're saying don't scrutinize our decisions. We're saying scrutinize our decisions and see if we were impartial. See if we actually, if that was a correct legal decision and a correct interpretation of the law. That's what we're saying. We're not saying don't scrutinize our decisions. We're saying scrutinize them by people who actually know and have it practiced in front of us how we're doing the job.
So Brian, if
Judge
Demacopoulos,
go ahead, please.
Yeah, for just a minute. So I think that your question is how do we hold judges accountable and yet still have an expectation that they maintain their judicial independence? And I think we can do both. And here's kind of an analogy here, right? The bar associations that do the evaluations of these judges spend thousands of man hours trying to get it right. And even they sometimes disagree about their evaluation process. And that's okay. What we're saying though, however, is, you know, you mentioned some groups that may quote unquote do judicial recommendations. I think it's very important that people know that news organizations like Injustice Watch do not do endorsements. They do not do recommendations. What they do is they are a news organization that may have a particular idea of what a good judge should be. And we have to be very, very careful. I'll give you a perfect example. All of the bar associations, including the Illinois State Bar Association, Chicago Bar Association, and members of the Alliance, bar associations across the board will always review a judge's record on cases that went up on appeal. But what some news organizations may do is only concentrate on a small number and say, oh, this particular judge has more reversals than any other judge in the retention class. To do that is like saying, oh, we're going to judge Tom Brady on how many interceptions he had, but we're going to compare him to the defensive lineman. Well, they're two different roles. They have two different assignments, two different comparisons. You can't do that comparison. And so that's why we are cautioning the voters. And what we're asking that is people scrutinize, what is the information? Does the communicator have some type of agenda? Or are they concerned about a particular social issue that is driving the information that they're giving to the voters? And what we're saying is the bar associations are scrutinizing that already. And they're looking at the judge. Can they do the job fairly? Do they have the skill set to do that? Do they have the work ethic to do that? Do they have the temperament to do that? Because again, remember, this is the last line of defense. We are the check and balance for the other two branches of government. We want to make sure that judges are not influenced by these agendas. That's the goal here.
Rory Weiler, we're almost out of time for this conversation, but what else do you see needing to change beyond this Declaration of Independence? Is this an election year problem, or is this a bigger issue within the relationship of the judiciary to the citizens of Illinois and the United States?
Well, frankly, it's both. It's saddening, bordering on disgusting to have to or to actually see some of these commercials that are abject electioneering, that are pandering to single issue voters, when those of us in the system, in the legal system, know that there's very, very little correlation between a judge's personal beliefs and the outcome of the cases they decide, because they're deciding them on the law and facts before them. If there is a takeaway here, I think it's for your listeners to know they cannot trust anything that they see or hear on TV or radio. They have to go to the sources that are objective and unbiased, and those would be the state and local bar associations that have gone through the process of evaluating the performance of the judges, not as ideologues, but as judges. Do they apply the law to the facts? And is, if that's their mantra, then that's a judge that the electors should get behind. The concept of a safe and independent judiciary is absolutely critical to the rule of law, because the rule of law is the only thing that stands between your listeners and anarchy. And the informed voter is going to want to go to those bar association websites. The informed voter is going to understand that you're no more going to go out and buy a car based on the nice ad you see of it riding through the snowy mountains. And you shouldn't select your judges based on advertising either. Be informed. You can get informed quite easily. And pay attention to what the bar associations have to say, because they have no axe to grind. Our association is full of people of all political colors and bents. So when you see an evaluation from the ISBA or the CBA or some other bar association, you can count on the fact that it's been done in an objective and non-biased, non-partisan, I should say, fashion.
Well, that is a great segue for the rest of our program today, which will be about television campaign ads. But for now, we're going to leave this conversation there on the Judicial Declaration of Independence. President Rory Wyler of the Illinois State Bar Association, Justice Eileen O'Neill Burke of the Appellate Court and the Illinois Judges Association, and Judge Anna Demokopoulos of the Cook County Circuit Court. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you.